Authors Over 50, Writing in Life's Sweetest Third. Authors Over 50's weekly podcast celebrates writers and their journeys to publication. Writing after 50 is a whole story on its own, so let's skip to Life's Sweetest Third and talk with authors about their journey from pen to publish. Welcome, I'm Julia Daly, your host, and I invite you to listen to interviews with writers who've achieved their goal of publishing a book just later in life. We've seen award lists for under 30 or under 40, but I've yet to see lists for those who've achieved a significant milestone of their own, launching a new career and publishing their first book after the age of 50. We will hear about these authors' inspirations, struggles, strategies, and the smell of that first book. These writers' journeys inspire me because I'm one of them. My guest today lives 2 hours north of Toronto, but her heart's other home is the south of France. An avid traveler, she spends part of each year there. Her award-winning debut novel, The Bridge Club, is a book club favorite, and The Promise of Provence, which launched her three-part Love in Provence series, was a finalist for a USA Best Book Award and an Indie Excellent Award and an Amazon Hot New Release. Her new novel, The Secrets We Hide, will publish in August 2022. Welcome to Authors Over 50, Patricia Sands.
Hi, Julia. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation.
We're glad to have you, Patricia. And our opening question on Authors Over 50 is always, so what took you so long to write your first book?
Well, I guess in a word, life. I was busy living my life, raising my family, and doing other things. And quite frankly, the thought of writing, publishing a novel had never entered my head. And it wasn't until I actually was 65 that this event occurred. And my first novel was The Bridge Club, as you mentioned. I just happened to have a copy of it here. This is actually the cover of the 10th anniversary edition, which we published 2 years ago, which essentially is the same as the original with some additional editing and then new content at the end. Because through the years, many readers have asked me the answer to the question they were left with at the end of the original version of The Bridge Club. So the 10th anniversary edition actually answers that question and also gives readers an update on how the past 10 years of these characters' lives have unfolded. So it was fun to write that. But anyway, so I was busy living life and doing other things, and all of a sudden, there I was in my late 60s, writing novels and being a published author. And it was quite an unexpected but wonderful new chapter in my life.
Well, you are quite prolific because you have written a lot of novels since then. How many books do you have out?
Well, The Secrets We Hide, which will be coming out next month, will be number 9. Now, a couple of those books are actually 3 of them are novellas. I just happen to have them all here. I'm never without them. And these 3 novellas are part of the Villa des Violettes series, which follows along the lives of the characters in my Love in Provence trilogy. And that the Villa des Violettes series really happened thanks to wonderful readers who kept saying, come on, we want to know more about Kat and Philippe and what happened to them and their family. And so it was really a joyful experience to write those following 3 novellas. And I have one more that'll be coming out in 2023 in that series.
Well, Patricia, your covers are lovely works of art. Did the same artist create all of them?
No, actually, but it's an interesting question. The same author did the three Love in Provence books. This is actually the town of Antibes on the cover of this one. And then, so this was all by the same artist. And it was a young artist in Toronto who I discovered lived quite close to me. And so he worked on the covers. He did watercolors of each of the covers based on some photos that I shared with him. I have been a photographer all my life, so I have a bazillion photos. And so he used those photos to do those covers. And when I published The Bridge Club and the first two Love in Provence books, I self-published because, as a 65-year-old first-time author, I was not high on the wish list of publishing houses and literary agents. So I did a lot of homework and I discovered some other successful authors who had self-published. And so learning all I could about that process, and with each book, it became increasingly easier. I self-published the Bridge Club and the first two of the Love in Provence series. And then I opened my email box one morning and there was a message saying, hello, Patricia, I'm a senior acquisitions editor with Amazon's Lake Union Publishing. And I've just finished reading your work and we'd like to talk to you. So that was an amazing, unexpected, incredible opportunity. And Lake Union did, in fact, purchase the rights to the two Love in Provence books that were out. They re-released them and then released the third book in the series and then asked me to write a standalone, which I did. And that was my fourth novel, Drawing Lessons, which has nothing to do with the Love in Provence books, but is set in another part of the south of France. And as with all my novels, the protagonist is a mature woman. Because as my books got out there, I heard from so many readers, sort of my age or maybe a little younger, who, because everybody's younger these days, who said how much they enjoyed reading stories about a woman who was not in her 30s. And so, and that's what I like to write about as well. So that's what I continued doing. But actually the covers for these books really is an interesting story because, so this was the first of the Villa des Violettes and it's obviously a winter story. And then this was the next. We kept the same door and the same wisteria vine. And then this was the third. And these covers came about on one of my tours because a wonderful, unexpected again, event that happened with my writing career is that I was invited by a travel agent to create a tour based on my books. And I did, and working with a travel agent, now I work with a different woman now, and have for the last 3 years. But so for the last 7 years, and of course, with interruptions from COVID, each summer I've done a 12-day tour for 16 women based on my stories. And we spend a week on the Côte d'Azur and then a week in Arles, which is where Drawing Lessons is set. And so in 2018, two of the women on the tour were from the States, and they heard me talking about the fact that I was kind of frustrated because I was trying to come up working with an artist to get the first cover art done. And we just weren't connecting. What I wanted and what I was getting weren't the same. And they had been to France before on an artist's trip. And they said, can we take a crack at it? So I said, sure. And they talked to me about, okay, what do you want? And how do you want it? And back and forth. And so they designed the first cover. And I just really loved what they did because it had this simple but meaningful artwork that really was tied in with the story. And so, of course, as you can see, we carried on with all three books, all three Blue Doors, and The Vine Just Changes. So the same women have done all three covers, and they've actually started working on the cover for the new book for next year. And in fact, I just saw them this June, and just a couple of weeks ago, in the south of France, because we did an extra tour for that particular group of women who went with us in 2018. They became such good friends. They asked us if we would put together a new tour for them, and they would all come. And that's what happened. So I just got to spend 2 weeks with them again in the south of France. So that was really great. And it's, as I say, it's an unexpected bonus to writing these books.
Well, I'm fascinated by expats or those who spend so much time in other countries and cultures. Tell us how you began traveling to France and how you spend your time there.
Well, the first time my love affair with France began was many years ago when I was 21, and the world had really just opened up with inexpensive air travel. So I was over there with some girlfriends after university and traveling around. And I did just, when I got to the south of France, I was in love, and that was it. And I've been very fortunate throughout my life to be able to go back many times. Then 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, my husband and I, he was my second husband. I was widowed when I was in my 40s and remarried a number of years later. And so 25 years ago, when my husband and I married, we decided that travel was going to be a big part of our lives, and because we both enjoyed it so much. And so just coincidentally, we had friends who were living part-time in the south of France who were from Toronto, and they suggested that we swap homes for a month. So that's what we did. And although we had traveled over there and spent time sort of, you know, doing the kind of trips where you spend a few days here and a few days there and you're driving around and all that, this was a different experience where we settled in and we lived like a local for a month. And we really loved that. We did lots of day trips, but we had a home. And that was the beginning of us doing home exchanges. And we actually have done 17 home exchanges, most of them in the south of France, but a couple of others to Vienna and California. And I guess it was just Vienna and California. And all the other home exchanges have been in the south of France. And they've been wonderful experiences. I can't recommend that type of travel more highly. And in fact, my main character in the Promise of Provence series, the first time she goes to Provence, she goes on a home exchange. And so we just continued doing that through the years. And you become good friends with the people you exchange with. We had a home in Florida, and we used that as our exchange home. And it worked very well. And so it was great, you know, because you really feel like you are part of the community, part of the neighborhood. You live your life like everybody else, going to the market every day and, you know, just enjoying the opportunity to live in that beautiful part of the world.
Well, that sounds very intriguing. And if you ever want to come to Texas in the 106 degree heat and let me come to Toronto, I'll be happy to exchange my home with you.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. I'm not sure that would ever happen, but
yeah, no,
you never know.
Yes. Tell us about your writing routine. Are you a morning person or a night person?
I'm kind of an any time of the day or night person. I write every day, not necessarily on a manuscript. If the writing may involve social media or writing an article for another travel website. I don't do that so much anymore, but I certainly did 12 years ago when I was, you know, beginning it with my writing career. I did a lot of articles and photography for travel magazines, especially ones that are France related. As long as I have my laptop, I can write anywhere, and I do. And when we travel, I write every day. Nothing really changes in that regard. And I'm fortunate that I like to wake up early and I like to go to bed late. So there's always time to write.
How long on average does it take you to write a book?
Wow. On average, I would say that all of my books have taken at least a year. And certainly in the beginning, the Bridge Club took more than a year because when I started it, I was just writing it for fun. For my real life Bridge Club, I had no intention of publishing. So it went through, I went through several stages with the writing of that. And sometimes I set it aside for a couple of months. And it wasn't until after I published that and then realized how much I enjoyed writing and was getting emails from readers asking me for what other books had I written. And I, you know, realized that I wanted to have other books for readers. Then my writing became more, a bit more organized. And with each successive book, the process has not taken as long. Although I will say with The Secrets We Hide, I was working on that all through the COVID years. And so I don't think I could possibly write a full novel in less than a year. I have great admiration for authors who are able to be more prolific and produce really wonderful stories. I don't know how they do it, but there are a number who do.
Well, I think it's so wonderful that Lake Union reached out to you. I know our writer friends out there would love to know if they gave you any indication of what drew them to your books. Was it strictly sales or did they mention anything else?
Well, my editor did tell me at the time that they had come across my work through social media. And so I didn't realize that I was, you know, spending so much time on Facebook and Twitter and those platforms. But I knew that I did spend a lot of time on Instagram because I take photos all the time. And I like to share them and I like to enjoy other people's photography. So Instagram was my platform of choice until a couple of months ago when I got hacked. And that was, I can't tell you how upsetting it was. And you know, it's not like I had millions of subscribers. I had 5,000 subscribers, but I had worked very hard through the years to cultivate my Instagram platform and subscribers and to have all that wiped out in an instant by a hacker who, you know, got no value out of doing it other than messing up my account. So I had to start all over again, and it's a slow process. But I love Instagram, so I'll keep doing it.
So frustrating for all of us. And 5,000 followers is a lot of people. So I'm sorry that that happened.
Mm-hmm. It was really very upsetting. I tend to be someone who doesn't get stressed. I don't really get upset about things. I mean, as I mentioned, I was widowed in my 40s. My sons were 11 and 12 at the time. And after going through that, you know, one of the lessons I learned is that nothing could ever be that bad again. And so I'm pretty easygoing about life. But honestly, if I could have gotten my hands on that hacker, it wouldn't have been pretty.
What about publicity? You've talked about social media, but have you found any publicity that works or didn't work for you post-publication? What have you been doing?
You know, I am really not very good at self-promotion. And quite honestly, I'll be out somewhere. I mean, often when I've been traveling through France, I'll be introduced to someone or, you know, I'll be somewhere and someone will say, well, you know, Patricia writes books about this part of France and you really should read them. And people say, oh my gosh, do you have a card? Or I have beautiful bookmarks. I never have them with me. I am really bad about that. And so I try to make a point of always having some with me, but most of the time when I look for one to share with someone, I don't have any. But so I haven't been particularly focused on, visiting podcasts and things like that. I mean, I do some, but I know there's much more that I could be doing. I just keep thinking perhaps if I were 30 years younger, I'd be taking a different route. I sort of look at my writing career now as something that's very satisfying. And I feel incredibly blessed that this came into my life. I'm not sure that any of my books would ever be on the New York Times bestseller list, but I do know that I have a very dedicated niche group of readers who love to read stories set in the south of France and who have become engaged with my characters. And so that's really satisfying to me, you know, and I try to connect with them as much as possible.
I think that's very gratifying and very important to do. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the book you've brought to share today and read a few sections or paragraphs for us so that we can hear your tone and voice in the book?
I'm going to read a page or two from The Promise of Provence. So that was my second novel after The Bridge Club and the first one set in the south of France. The Bridge Club is really a Canadian novel. It's about eight women my age and it's based on my real life Bridge Club. And it's very much a Canadian novel that takes place in many of the provinces throughout the country. So in this book, Catherine Price, who's also known as Cat, arrives home on the day of her 22nd wedding anniversary to a rather unpleasant surprise. And she finds herself on her own and kind of not sure what she's going to do next. She's a professional woman. She and her husband did not have any children. And she has a lot to think about in the years coming up. And she has some very close cousins who have encouraged her to try home exchange. Surprise. Or maybe no surprise, based on what I've told you. So these cousins were very experienced in home exchange, and they convinced Catherine, because she had a lovely small house that she'd inherited from her mother, in a very good location in Toronto. So they encouraged her to list the home and see if she could go somewhere interesting on a home exchange. And sure enough, she goes to the south of France to a lovely 200-year-old farmhouse in Provence. And the part I'm going to read now is where she has just arrived and picked up her rental car, and she's driving through the countryside to go to her home exchange residence. So she's in the car and leaving the more urban area, Catherine encountered her first challenge, roundabouts. Rond-point, she admitted herself, thinking French here. Holding her breath, she entered as confidently as possible, and as the GPS directed, made a left at the second exit. The vehicles already circling have the right of way, she had read. After a few more, Catherine felt she had them mastered. Oops, perhaps not, she muttered, as she found herself not quite sure of her exit in a later one. Shifting gears hesitantly and going around a second time, someone swerved in front of her on the right, cutting off her exit, and around she went again. Oh, brother, I'm having a Griswold moment, she sighed, remembering European vacation, which she had watched with her nephews and niece many times. Gripping the wheel, she took a deep breath as she swerved quickly, counted to the third exit, and veered off into it. Maybe I do need a bit more experience, she conceded, for a moment unsure whether to laugh or cry. The roads gradually became narrower and less busy, which allowed her to take a longer look at the pastoral countryside. As she rounded a corner, cresting a small hill, she suddenly pulled the car to the side of the road and burst into tears. In front of her was a postcard scene from Provence in June. An enormous field of golden sunflowers glistened with an intensity that was hard to believe, as if someone had plastered a Visit Provence poster smack in her face. To one side was the classic mass with its outbuildings, the shades of the yellow-green limestone farm structures softened by the mid-afternoon sun. Traditional weathered blue shutters on the south-facing windows and doors were flung open on this fine day. It was a scene Catherine had admired in so many books and movies. She couldn't begin to count the number of images exactly like this that had filled her computer screen in the last month. And now there it was. And there she was, overwhelmed by the moment. She stepped out of the car and hollered at the top of her lungs, I'm here, I've done it, je suis arrivée. Grabbing her camera, she let the lens caress the fields, buildings, and sky, knowing this was just the beginning. The pleasure of composing each shot was like eating a divine piece of chocolate. She could almost taste it.
That was beautiful. You had us right in the south of France.
I hope so.
Do you speak fluent French? You have a beautiful accent.
I would not say fluent. I have been taking lessons all my life. I was an elementary school teacher, and I did teach French immersion in the early grades for a few years. But no, I don't. I still would not say I'm fluent, but I stumble through, and I love the language. And you know, once you're over there, you just automatically get into it. You know, if I had to start speaking French right now here to you, I'd have a nervous breakdown. But over there, it's a different story.
Do you still have to do a lot of research, or do you know the area so well now that you can just begin writing?
Well, I do know the area very, very well because, you know, my husband and I have spent so much time there. And whenever we're there, we always were off exploring and visiting new towns and new areas. But of course, I do research as well on everything that I'm writing. And I want to make sure that every detail I get is correct.
Patricia, what do you think the best money you've ever spent as a writer was?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I think I would have to say it has been on working with excellent editors. Of course, when with the four books that Lake Union published, their editors took care of all of that. But for the ones that I have self-published, I have always used very reputable editors, and it costs money. There's no question. That's definitely been the biggest area of expense for me, but I feel it's the one that is the most important. And whenever I'm asked to speak to either a writer or a group of writers, and I talk about indie publishing as well as traditional publishing, I always stress that no one should ever publish anything without using a professional editor. You know, you don't use your Aunt Nellie or your best friend who you adore. You have to use someone who really, an editor who really knows what they're doing and how they can work with you. And I love going through the editing process. I mean, like all authors, and I'm sure you can relate to this very well, when you first get your editorial evaluation back, there's always a question about, oh my gosh, what on earth are they going to say? What am I going to have to change? What, where do I have to focus on making things better? And sometimes there are surprises, but it's just a really wonderful part of the writing process to get your comments and suggestions back from an editor. And take those into account and work with them. And sometimes they take you on a different path with a certain part of your book, you know, that that you hadn't really thought about. And I think that's always very cool, you know, that you sort of look at an editorial comment like that and go, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? So yeah, editing definitely is a very, very worthwhile expense.
I agree. Editors are vital to what we do if we want to be professional writers. And
absolutely.
So that's very important. Our writers over 50 are certainly a unique group. Do you have any advice for writers 50 and above?
Well, I think, these days, what does 50 mean? To me, age is it's just numbers, right? And particularly if you're blessed with good health. And so no matter what age you are, if you feel that you have a story to tell, and now I am taking advice directly from Stephen King, because when I first considered publishing The Bridge Club, as I was being very enthusiastically encouraged to do it. And so I was taking writing workshops and courses, and every writing workshop, Stephen King's book on writing, A Memoir of the Craft, was recommended. And it really was a very influential book for me. And this bit of advice that I began to share before I digressed, which I am very good at doing, is something that I always share with people, because Stephen King said, if you have a story inside you that you feel you need to tell, you want to tell, sit down and tell that story. Just write it and don't worry about your spelling or your grammar or anything else. Just get the story out there. And in so doing, you will probably begin to find your writer's voice. And then you find a good professional editor to take a look at what you've done and work with you on that. And I think that advice applies at any age. But particularly for someone who's maybe, completed a career in another field and is thinking they might like to write something, I think that's really important. And don't let your age be a barrier. I mean, if you have a desire to be traditionally published, by all means, pursue that. Query agents, query publishers, do all that, but don't feel that that's the only route. I think it's really important to get your work out there. And it's so easy to do these days. You don't need to pay a lot of money to anybody to put a book together for you, to format it, to get it in print as well as ebook. And then you get readers to read it and review it and talk about it. And that's when the magic can happen.
I think that's excellent advice and a great place for us to end our chat today. So, Patricia, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your thoughts about writing and publishing. And we just appreciate your time. And we are happy to say that you're now one of our authors over 50.
Well, that's quite an honor. And thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you for joining us today. Please look for Authors Over 50 every Thursday when we will have conversations with accomplished debut novelists over the age of 50. Please subscribe and share with a friend. And check out my own publication journey after 50 at www.juliadaily.com. Until next time, keep reading and writing. And remember, it's never too late to fulfill a dream in life's sweetest third.